This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, it's the 8 o'clock hour here at Brock and Salk. That means it is brought to you by Brock, Precor Home Fitness.
Nice.
You know that. You don't need to wait for me. In 15 minutes, we will announce the winner of our Pete Carroll Show contest for a couple of tickets to the Seahawks. I also have another code word.
Yeah, you
if
do.
If you want to win Seahawks tickets, I will tell you what that code word is right after we talk to Matt Hasselbeck, who joins us right now here in the Venue Kings Hotline. Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Have you heard these two guys who found the Red Sox
Zavarian Brothers grads?
Yeah, have you heard these two
from
geniuses
Somerville?
Yet?
Yeah, Sully and Fitz. Yeah, what about them?
wasn't sure if you'd had an opportunity to see and hear them. Yeah, we were playing them this morning.
I really did. It's pretty amazing. And yeah, there's a word for people like that. I don't know what to tell you.
I was wondering. I mean, like, I know two people that I think of that from my life that they remind me of. It's Louis Mastromarino and Greg Daigle. Do you have two guys in that you knew growing up that could easily be those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, like, Mike Hatzell comes to mind right off the bat. You know, he was kind of the leader of the pack in Brockton for a long time. Mike Hatzell.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Everybody knows someone. Everybody knows someone just like those two guys. And I love my favorite part of it, if you go back and watch it or read it or listen to it again, is at the very end when they say that they know somebody they could have sold it to. Like, oh, we know a fence that we could have sent this to.
We got sources, fellas.
Okay. All right, speaking of sources, be our source on what's going on with the Seahawks offense, because through 2 weeks, Matt, it's been unrecognizable as an NFL offense. What do you think is happening?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a new offense. It's a new offensive coordinator. It's a new playbook. You got some new people, obviously, on the other side of the ball. But, you know, they're close. They're just not playing their best football right now. I think they can still figure it out, but it's been a tough start to the season for sure. I think they could be 2-0, and right now they're 0-2, and there's anger in the streets and probably a little bit of whispering and finger pointing that, you know, they're going to have to overcome. And so I think they can. I think they've got enough leadership to do that. But it is not an ideal start to the season for them.
What would you advise or counsel Russell Wilson? Because for the first time, Matt, he's feeling a lot of noise here. First time, really, in 7 years, his head coach is saying he's over-trying and he's nitpicking him. I think both privately and certainly publicly as well. What counsel, what advice would you give to Russell?
I mean, I would just say stick to the film. You know, watch the film and try to get better each and every play. You know, I think, you know, I would say the Denver game didn't go their way. It's just a really great pass rush. I actually thought the offensive line did a pretty decent job of protecting in that game. I would not say the same in this last game against Chicago. And so there's this balance with him. He's so electric and such a playmaker when he gets outside of the pocket or when he holds onto the ball. He makes guys miss a lot. And so, you know, there's a balance between, you know, doing that and being the Russell Wilson that we all know that he is, and yet putting your offensive line in a tough situation, putting your play caller in second and long, third and longs, because of drive killing sacks, you know, putting your defense in a bad spot with field position. And so, I think he's, you know, taking the right approach. He's being coachable. You saw in the first quarter of that Chicago game, he did everything the way that they asked him to do it. Hey, listen, play on time, play on schedule. And when it didn't work in the first quarter, that's when I think you saw him kind of like, hey, I'm going to try to do something else. I'm going to try to make something happen. And that's when they got off schedule a little bit in that second quarter. And so it's a challenge. I think it's just like I said before, I think it's a curse and a blessing. But I think he'll figure it out. I think he'll get it together. It's just going to, you know, going to take a little bit, I think.
Matt Hasselbeck from Somerville, Mass., joining us. You know, we navigated for a couple
Somerville. Somerville.
Sorry. A couple years together, Matt, we navigated the waters with Coach Holmgren. And the number of times you and I heard him, or I heard him tell you about trust, you know, and how that trust has to work and develop. And you've talked about it on our show before, and we don't need to kind of relive that history of how you, you know, kind of learned that the hard way at times and then came back and took this team all the way to a Super Bowl. But that word trust comes up on the show a lot. I'm curious from your perspective, Again, I guess kind of leaning towards Russell here. How do you go about trusting new voices and new pieces? He's got a new voice in his headset and new guys he's throwing to. How does he go about trusting it, Matt?
Yeah, from what I've heard, you know, he's, you know, trusting them, and he's doing it, and he's trying, and he's wanting to be coached, and he's willing to learn new stuff, even though he's had so much success. I just really think everybody's got to play better. And then, you know, if you go back to the tape, you don't want to be in second and 10 or more. And they're in second or 10 or more just way too much. They're in third and, you know, more than seven way too much. And, you know, sometimes you might have to take some things off the table just to get a win. You know, like I remember tough games with Mike Holmgren. We'd be playing the New York Giants. We'd have all these great plays. We knew we could beat their DBs. And he'd say, hey, listen, no seven-step drops this week. It was like, well, what do you mean no seven-step drops? You know, that's half our playbook. He's like, yeah, we're not doing it. I'm staying on schedule. And you know, it's like those kinds of things that, you know, maybe collectively as a group, until they start getting some wins, you know, they got to maybe take a couple steps back to take some steps forward. But I don't think he's playing poorly. I mean, I really don't think he's playing that poorly. I think it's very fixable. I think he'll have a good year. I think they had six plays in the third quarter against Chicago. Six plays. That's 2-3 and outs. You don't get the ball back. And so, you know, the Denver game, I thought they really didn't play their best on defense, you know, or on offense. And still they had a chance to win that game if the refs don't screw up the red challenge flag thing on the fumble. So, you know, I actually think that they can get it figured out. The problem is that the Rams are taking off with the division right now. They've got a good jump start, and they got to get a win this weekend.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, that you bring up those six plays in the third quarter, and those have obviously been a big topic of conversation here this week, because all six of them were passing plays for a team that has gone out in the offseason and spent all of their available resources on improving a running game that they say they're going to recommit to. How does that kind of stuff go over in a locker room when you say you want to do one thing and then you actually watch your team go out and kind of do the opposite?
Well, I thought they committed to the run. You know, I really thought they committed to the run in that Chicago game. I think there was like 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and they're just down seven, you know, at 17-10. And they still were running the football. You know, quite honestly, I think they need to find which two running backs are going to be their running backs. I think Carson's done a nice job. I don't know who the other guy is, though. You know, I know the other kid's young, Penny. I know he's young, but I haven't seen enough at personally. I have not seen enough on film that lets me feel like this guy's ready in the passing game, in the running game, or in pass protection. And so you get opportunities on second down. The quarterback hits a check down. Catch the ball. You know, like you got to stay out. You got to help out. You got no one at this point, no one cares where you're drafted. I think they got to figure out who that second runner is. If it's Penny, great, but you got to hurry up. Your team needs you. If it's somebody else, then you got to step up. But I think the running game, I think committing to the run is important. I love how they started that game. The first play of the game was a 9-yard run. Next play was a run. It's a first down. Like, they were on schedule to commit to the run. I just think they got to get a little bit better, and they got to figure out what their identity is going to be with that group. I know it's a committee, and that's fine, but that's an area I would expect them to improve on.
Look at you becoming film guy. I think three different times in like 8 minutes, Hass, you're like, oh, I'll just watch the film. I just watched film.
Well, you know, I was at the game too, and I don't know if you've ever seen a game from like a stadium. I haven't really done that much, so I'm in the stands at the Bears game, and with like some college buddies, not Sully Fitzy and Murph from Somerville, but some guys from Chicago, and it was fun, and you could actually see the, you know, you can see when guys are wide open from the stands much better than you can when you're under center. But I enjoyed it, and I really thought that they were committing to the run, and
well, they did, Matt, but I think when you hear, what was it, 17 straight runs at one point in the second or third quarter, and you're right, it kind of opened the game with it. They wanted to do some of it, and then they just are 17 straight passes. You know, you hear that in six straight passes in the third quarter, and it is just for a group that has drafted, that has assembled, that has an O-line that wants to run it. That's, I think,
it's also some of the key plays. It's the third and shorts where they're coming out in empty and they're not even threatening to run the ball in those spots.
And so I think philosophically, like if you listen to Brian Schottenheimer talk, philosophically, there's some things that he says that, you know, tell you who he is as a play caller. And so he looks at completions and runs very similar. I forget the number. I think it's like 53. He wants to have 53 rushing attempts and completions, you know, combined in a game. He feels like that's a formula for winning. And, you know, I haven't heard that. I think it's intriguing. I'd like to, you know, maybe see how that goes. I don't know where they've been in those first two games, 50-something. But my thing is, like, so not knowing him that well or knowing what his coaching style exactly is, I know what Pete Carroll's coaching style is. I know what matters to Pete Carroll. It's all about the ball. And the ball has been on the ground way too much. And, you know, some of it has been like strip sack situations with the quarterback, whether it's at Denver or Chicago. Obviously two great pass rushes, but the ball's on the ground too much. And they haven't lost them all, but I know that that's not what Pete Carroll wants. Pete Carroll does not want fumbles. And there's been far too many fumbles that have come from, hey, a double move. Hey, we're going to do a hitch and go because the guy jumped on a hitch earlier in the game to a running back. We're going to run a hitch and go. You hold on to the ball for a while, and then the ball's out. And so I think it's just at the end of the day, they got to figure out how to stay on schedule. And then Russell Wilson, you can't take away what he's so great at. You really can't take it away. But at the same time, you got to find ways to not have the ball on the ground. And there's really no blame to go around there. It's just they just got to get better.
Well, you use the word blame. The word around here, really, the entire offseason and through the preseason has been accountability. And maybe it stems from the Sports Illustrated article and last year's ESPN article on this idea that Russell is simply not held accountable the way some of the other players on this team are. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but it sure sounds in the last couple of weeks as if there's been an effort made to quote unquote hold Russell accountable. And I just wonder if that's affecting some of his confidence and some of his ability to just go out and do the things that make him unique and special.
Well, these articles just seem kind of tired and reprinted of the same article of the same story to me. What I see on film, you know, you pause the tape and you say, okay, what should the quarterback have done differently here? I don't know what I could tell Russell to do differently on a lot of the plays that people are going to try to critique. Guys aren't open sometimes. You know, guys are running routes, turning back, looking back like, hey, are you scrambling yet? Are you going to go do something? I don't fault him too much for that. The only area where I really feel like, and this happened when I was backing up Brett Favre. I would see this all the time. Brett Favre would have a lot of interceptions. And so Mike Holmgren would say, hey, let's watch Andy Reid say, let's watch the interception reel. And, like, there's all these things that you would say he should do differently. But then Andy Reid would pop in the touchdown reel tape. And it was like, wow, I mean, they're sort of the same techniques and same decision-making. Like, so how do you take away, how do you get rid of the bad and keep the great?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Russell's just got, he's proven he's got so much great that can come from those playmaking abilities. Go back to the Denver game. He didn't throw the ball in time. He kind of rolled to the right a little bit, escaped the pocket, throws the touchdown pass, I think, to Brandon Marshall. It was the first third down conversion of the game, I think, for them. It was like in the third quarter.
Yep.
And so, you know, you don't want to take that away, because if you take that away, you're not going to have a great offense. But at the same time, if you keep putting the ball on the ground, you're not going to win very many games.
Is this what you learned backing up Mark Hartzell also? Can we go back to the Mark Hartzell part of this conversation? Did you back him up, or was he there just before you?
Mark Hartzell and Steven Marciano, two great guys. Wicked good guys.
He won an Aloha Bowl for BC. I mean, Mark Hartzell's no joke. This is a great player we're talking about.
He is a great player. He's a wicked good player.
Thanks, Matt. We appreciate it, man. Always good to catch up with you, dude.
His sister's a wicked good athlete.
I believe she is. Why wouldn't she be down in Bridgewater? All right, see you, Matt. Thank you very much.
Okay, good. Hey, guys, Nomar was better than Jeter.
Obviously. There you go. There's Matt Hasselbeck, longtime Seahawks quarterback, and, of course, the very first guest in the history of this show.
Such a good dude. Yeah. I think you could do a day. I would be fast.
I'm not doing a whole day.
No. Dude. Stop that before you say
no
about
it.
You say no to me all the time.
And that's because your ideas aren't good.
Attitude all the time.
Don't be such
always.
A naysayer.
No, bad ideas.
No. Elitist, now you're a defeat.
You always want too much of a good thing. That's
wicked
your problem.
Naysayer.
No.
All right, what do you want to do?
You could do a day.
A day.
A day.
A day.
Where you come in each segment with a different voice.
I'm not doing that.
Radio broadcast guy. Baseball broadcaster guy.
Wow.
Your Northeast guy.
No.
Your fat
hates
baseball
punting.
Coach. Your texter voice guy.
That would exhaust everybody.
I know.
Nobody's going to listen to of that?
We have, what, 9 segments a day? You could come up with your 9 different characters.
We have a job to do here. Gosh. That would be, I think.
And it would be the most listened to
Kyle,
rock
could you back
and salt
me up here?
Show
I'm not doing
ever.
This. Can I get a little help from Kyle here?
It's overkill.
You think?
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Seriously. Don't ask for things like that. You'll never get them that way.
Right,
you're like
fine.
My mom every time she wants me to talk about my childhood. Like, right. Mom, I'll do it on my own terms. If you ask me about it, I'm just going to say no every single time. All right. Every week this year, we're giving away a couple tickets to every Seahawks home game. We do the Pete Carroll Show Mondays at 9:30. We make a video of that, and then it goes up at 710sports.com/win. We have a winner, Brock, and I want to announce him right now. He's got 5 minutes to call and redeem his prize. John Karroz, C-A-R-R-O-Z. How would you pronounce that?
Yeah, that's
Karroz.
Karroz. Karroz. Karroz.
John Karroz. 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 Yep. You've won.
Way to go, Johnny.
You started following 710 ESPN Seattle on Twitter, which improved your chances of winning. And all you got to do now in the next 5 minutes is call 206-421-3776. So if you are John, or if you know John, let him know to call us now. And he will win a pair of tickets. So 206-421-3776. Now, if you want to win tickets, but you're not John Karroz, 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 I have another opportunity for you. Hope is not lost, Brock. Jeez. I've got another way that you could win tickets, but not by calling. John's got a call. Here's what you've got to do. Go to 710sports.com/win and enter the code word DOWN. D-O-W-N, enter the code word DOWN and do it before 9 o'clock. And you'll be entered to win 2 tickets to see the game on Sunday. Seahawks and Cowboys, home opener, the whole deal. There are some limited season tickets, or limited single game tickets, rather, that remain for this game. So keep listening to better your odds of winning, because we're going to have another code word for you in the 9 o'clock hour. But for the 8 o'clock hour, go to 710sports.com/win and enter the code word DOWN. So if you're not John Karroz, enter the code word DOWN at 710sports.com.
What does your mom want to hear?
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, God, like, constant. Oh, Mike, tell us about sixth grade sleepaway camp.
Mike, do you
remember?
Do you
again.
Remember? It always starts with, do you remember? And then I'm like, oh God, here we go. It's just, and it's like, do you remember when we went to the beach?
You mean like reminiscing?
Right. But it's,
that's offensive to you?
When it's nonstop,
mom,
yes.
The nostalgia,
yes.
Enough.
Yes, now she's going to get
quit
mad at me
for bringing this good
up.
Time.
You know what?
I guess we
this is only
going
to lead to a problem in my life.
She wanted you
stop.
To tell the story about Grandpa calling during a Red Sox game.
Yeah, don't, I don't like to perform. I'm not a monkey, okay? I'm not a little monkey you can wind up and I start performing.
The three
you get nostalgia on my terms.
I do it on my terms, not on your terms.
The three-year family dynamic in that situation was pretty interesting, because it was a deep fact-finding situation. We had to get to the bottom of who was actually right, who was actually wrong in the recollection of
that
story between the three
when?
Of them. When you guys said that in your office, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Wait, what happened?
That story that Kyle's talking about. We were all sitting in your office, and she says, remember that time that your grandfather called during the game, and then the three of you, your father and your mother, debated what actually happened.
Like, oh, when my grandmother called during the
no,
BC
it wasn't,
game.
It wasn't, it was yeah. grandmother who yeah, yeah. called. It was
my grandmother called when David Gordon was lining up to beat Notre Dame. That definitely happened, and I remember it like it was yesterday. All right, enough about my family. You guys are driving me crazy today. Jeez, we don't need to talk about my poor mom. All right, did I bring that up? Is that on me? Oh, sorry about that.
Yes, you did.
All right, what'd you hear from
me? She has this optimism thing that tends to drive me nuts.
You know, these things end up getting me in trouble. Stop. Stop playing that. That's going to end up like causing a family rift.
Jake Heaps.
Get back to what you heard from Matt Hasselbeck and Jake Heaps and everybody else.
Well, I unfortunately was on a couple conference calls, and I didn't hear Jake Heaps yesterday in the 9 a.m. hour, but it sure sounds like Mike, he too, went back and watched the tape. Like Ron Jaworski, right? These disciples of Ron Jaworski.
You mean like Trent?
And Trent.
He's been talking to Trent. Did you hear a little bit more Trent out of Matt than in the past?
Yes.
I've been watching the tape and here's what I saw. But, well, all right, Trent. Matt.
But you want to know why that comes about?
Why?
Because Matt has to hear from a lot of different teams and a lot of former players and current players and current GMs and former GMs and everybody. So he just wants to say, okay, instead of me listening to anything anybody else said, I got to have my own facts straight. And just like Jake Heaps, who came in here yesterday and it was asked about Russell, asked about the sacks, right? Asked about the 6 sacks. And in you know, I think going to the tape from a quarterback's perspective, here's what Mr. Heaps had to say.
When I look back at it, okay, maybe one of the six sacks, you can say, hey, Russ, you need to get rid of the ball in that situation. And that was at the very end of the game, comes out of the pocket, looking downfield, and he gets strip sacked. That was it.
there really weren't many other places for him to throw the ball, right? He goes on a little bit further, Kyle, and talks about just as far as throwing lanes or people open or anything else down the field or the timing of some of those routes. You know, Heaps also addressed what the tape showed him.
What can Russ do better? And that's where I really was evaluating this tape, because I wanted to go in there and say, yep, he didn't do that, he didn't do that, he needed to throw the ball here. I didn't see that. The pocket, you're asking him to step into a pocket that is suffocating. It's not just a pocket where there's, you know, a few lanes here or there. It is collapsing around him.
Yeah, and I would second a lot of that. So if the show of record wants to, diminish or dismiss Matt and Jake and myself as all former quarterbacks and having a quarterback bias, probably somewhat fair, they can do that. You can say, well, this is just QBs defending QBs. No, I don't think in my case, I'm not doing that. And in Matt's case, he certainly isn't either. You're just looking at it going, yeah, there's not a lot of answers. There's not a lot of places to go with the ball. There's a lot of mistiming here on these routes. You know, this is not a good deal in any way. That whole thing about being stout up front and having Fluker in there, right, and having this wall of a guy to just give him some space somewhere. The first 2 weeks of the season against Von Miller and yeah. Khalil Mack and these D-lines
that
on the road.
That word suffocating is a hard one to hear. By the way, I want to congratulate our winner, John Carrows, who did win the tickets. He called
in
within his 5 minutes, so congratulations to John. Listen and watch the Pete Carroll show next week at 9:30 on Monday for your next opportunity to win.
Hey, Lydia, can you find that sound that you've played earlier this week from Chris Peterson? And you played it on your show talking about Jake, and you know, it's the exact same conversation. Whether it was Brett Favre 2 decades ago, whether it is the wizardry in the wizard that is Russell Wilson, or whether it's Jake Browning. What do you do? How do you keep plays alive? You know, what is that line between, man, I want you and I want to empower you to be a difference maker versus just get the ball out, just throw it away and live to play another day, right? And Chris Peterson earlier in the week was saying the same thing. Like, if you take these away, he also makes the touchdown in the game.
But the problem
was a scramble drill. The touchdown to Brandon Marshall was a scramble drill.
If I understand.
He needs to get in his makeup. You know, it just does. I mean, he knows it, and we got to improve there. There's no question. And like I said after the game, we need to help him. But there's going to become times where you help him as much, and the game of football goes how it goes. You know, somebody misses a block, they bring a blitz that we just weren't, and he's going to have to throw the ball away, or he's going to have to take a sack. I mean, it is how it is. But he's made so many plays getting out of there. I mean, we score a touchdown with him getting out of there and finding Ty Jones, and I don't think we realize like how many plays that kid has made with his feet. I mean, that's part of his game. Now, do we need to clean up the other part? No question.
3 third downs in the Auburn game. 3 third downs on touchdown scoring drives, and unfortunately at the end, 3 third downs where he's scrambling and keeping plays
but
alive.
I would say Jake over tries that. He tries that too often. I don't think Jake's feet aren't Russell's feet. And I think sometimes he thinks that they are, and I think that's where some of your mistake repeating comes in. Also, they tend to lead to some really disastrous plays. In Russell's case, look, what I hear from Jake, the thing that jumps out to me the most from Jake Heaps there is he can't even take, there isn't even a lane to throw the ball away here. It's not just he needs to throw it away and not throw a pick. It's he can't even throw it away, so the best thing he can do is take a sack. And in that case, good for him for not taking 12-yard sacks. He's only taken 4 to 6-yard sacks, and you're at least like playing to live as best as you can for the next day. Look, they're not getting any separation on offense. They don't have wide receivers who are running free all over the place. This isn't Russell missing everyone because he's short. This is Russell not having anywhere to throw the ball and not having any running lanes to run through. What else is he supposed to do other than take a sack? Like, what am I missing? But it's all Russell's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Russell, and I don't know, man. I don't think it is. I think I've seen a guy be an awfully good quarterback for the last entirety of his career, and it would really surprise me if all of a sudden he forgot how to play.
I want to get some football 101 here in this game Saturday night with Washington and Arizona State, but I got 4 words. I think the 4 words that cut through all of these conversations, that cut through what Matt had to say, what Jake had to say, what the coaches have had to say when it comes to quarterback, and I'll give you the 4 most important words and a little football 101 next. Brock Consult, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. I'll hit you guys up on the phones here in the 9 o'clock hour. A lot of opportunity
keep talking Russ and what's gone on here and how you fix this Seahawks offense and get them moving in the right direction. So we'll do that in a half hour here. Brock, I want to spend a few minutes talking Huskies. They get ready for a game on Saturday, of course, against Arizona State. Yes.
Yeah, I got to pay off my four words. I'm sorry. Can I give you my four words that I teased right there?
Yeah.
Four words about quarterbacking. Before I do, I want to get to this UW-ASU matchup, Herm Edwards sound. But play smart, not scared. And it was said to me more like this, play smart, not scared, okay, because that was Tom Moore. And it's unbelievable how those four words for almost 20 years since I played for the guy are just burned and embedded in my head. And it is what almost every other quarterback faces other than Russell. Russell's never worried about those four words. Russell's only word that he'd ever worried about with that was the first one, play. You'd have to worry about playing smart or playing scared or anything. He's the wizard. He just plays, right? And he just does things that nobody else does. But for the rest of us, mortal men, the Jay Keeps of the world, myself, Matt Hasselbeck, anybody else, you had to walk that line. They didn't have this capability that this quarterback in this market still has.
Baldwin, Lockett, and Richardson all on the left side with McKissick in the backfield. And Russell, play fake, going to roll left, looking. Now he's going to roll back to the right side, still looking, pirouettes, looks. Now he throws downfield, reaching up, Baldwin makes a catch, it's on the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, knocked out of bounds, inside the 5-yard line. Are you kidding me? Russell Wilson.
Jake Browning has to have those four words, play smart, not scared. He's got to walk that very fine line that anybody that's ever played the position knows. How simple those words are, yet how incredibly difficult they are to navigate. Russell doesn't. Russell just needs to play. Just let him play.
We'll get back to him coming up at 9 o'clock and give you guys an opportunity to try to help Russ, help the Seahawks, help Pete, help everybody. Help will be on the way at 9 o'clock. In the meantime, Brock, Huskies and Arizona State, Saturday night here. Huskies 19-point favorites in this game, and yet they've had a lot of trouble with ASU over the years. How do they win this game?
Yeah, this is a really cool football, and we're going to get a 101, and we get a Skycam, which is like the most awesome toy I ever get on one of my broadcasts.
And we should let people know, when you say we, you mean we, because Brock's doing the game for ESPN on Saturday night.
And I can't wait to talk so much ball. So if you like ball, you're going to get a bunch of it in this broadcast. Tempo of the teams notwithstanding, and both will probably play too fast so we can't get everything in. But it is such a clash in cultures, Mike. And Arizona State is a group that just wants to be aggressive and wants to get after you. And they have done that to Washington, no matter really who the coaches have been. Todd Graham did it for a number of years. The coaches before him did it. And it is what Herm Edwards and certainly his defensive staff are going to want to do. They have been a top five sacking team in college football the last 6 years. It's what they do. They're aggressive in their nature. They get athletes. They get a lot of JUCO transfers. They get a lot of talented guys from Southern California and Texas with speed, and they just come after you. And I love what their coordinator said to me yesterday. Their gap control is not like about control. It is about wiping out those gaps. So you hear coaches say, oh, I got to have gap control and I got to make these fits. For them, it is all about wiping those out, and they wipe them out by being hyper, hyper aggressive.
So penetration.
Oh, and every single play, and I was showing you and Kyle this morning on the little coach's tape, I said, look at this. Every play, no matter who it is or where it is or where it comes from, they end up basically bringing five guys at you full speed. Whether it is kind of in a conventional three-down lineman or whether it's safeties or whether it's linebackers, and it is a blur. I mean, in trying to, as a QB, like, oh, where's this picture coming from and where's this blitzer coming from? And it just gets you. And you know what they did last year? They got him. They got Jake, and they got this offense. And they had Washington just in a box, held Gaskin to less than 100 yards. The only, there were two teams that did it, and he had less than 80 against them last year. Remember Jake in that game? Just in a box, just throwing the ball away and bad body language, and no place to go, and blitzes everywhere, and that's the way they're going to have to get after it. And listening to Herm Edwards yesterday with Bob Gross and Tom, he knows his defense is going to have to be the focal point Saturday night.
We struggled on the road, you know, even before I got here. Our road record's not very good. It's a Pac-12 contest. They beat them last year here. It was a tight game, a defensive game, not a lot of points scored. They got a really good fan base up there, you know, and we got to play really good defense, because if you don't and this thing gets away from them, it's going to be very, very difficult to score on their defense.
And I miss Herm.
I know. Don't you miss having Herm in the media? Like, I'm excited for him down at ASU, but I miss Herm just in general. I miss hearing his voice.
You want to just, I'll let you know the location we're meeting tomorrow.
You go hang?
Like, you can just have, come in, get a cup of coffee.
I'd love that.
Your pumpkin scone.
I love Herm.
And just accidentally kind of bump into him like, oh, hey. Scone. Oh, I didn't know you were going to be here, Coach. How are you?
So you're meeting at a Tolly's Coffee or what?
No, there's a little coffee shop in the hotel. We'll be meeting that. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Undisclosed location.
Yeah. Well, I can't say all of that.
Right. We don't need an army of people there to
but
help
maybe Herm. We'll exit the production meeting and you can like kind of walk right
by. Herm.
Big Herm.
What's up, Big Herm?
Ned Ryerson.
Ned the Head. Needle Nose Ned. All right.
Yeah, and he's just such good people. And I felt that in talking to his staff yesterday. Both his D coordinator, who comes from San Diego State, his offensive coordinator that had been there a year and been everywhere else, and both of them to a man. I just asked both of them, hey, what have you learned from this guy? And that wasn't even the football. And that's what it was with you and I on our radio show. That's what it was for 8 years of people at ESPN. That's why he was hired there. It's not just the X's and O's. It's his influence on people. Curriculum night last night at the school where the kids go, and I was chatting with a couple dads that are football guys, and they're like, man, don't you just love Herm? Right? Please tell me, because you get a little behind the scenes perception reality. You actually get to see these guys. Please tell me he's the genuine thing. Right? Please tell me that what we see in sound bites and what we get is the actual thing behind the scenes, and it is. And it is. And a pretty cool hire. I think for ASU to go way outside the box, to surround him, as I said to you guys in the segment yesterday, just about all the way they're doing it with a lot of pro eyes. Antonio Pierce, remember Antonio Pierce?
Sure.
Well, he's their linebacker coach, and he's their recruiting coordinator. So they get just enough, but he'd never been a college coach, the head coach at Long Beach Poly. And guess what you got on this team? Some kids from Long Beach Poly.
No finger.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And making some of those inroads back into California is a big part of what they're doing. So the Huskies will win this game if Saturday night they handle some of that blitz.
Now, so if they're working on blitz, if that's the ASU standpoint, how do the Huskies defense, how do they operate?
And they do it 180 the other way. And I was telling their D coordinator that. I said, isn't this amazing? Come Saturday night, you guys are all about this front. You're all about this blur. You're all about, in your words, canceling out gaps and doing it aggressively. And Washington is all about two-gapping, and Greg Gaines is like 340 pounds and his face that falls out of his face mask, just eating blockers. He's eating his face mask while he's eating blockers in the middle there, and there's none of it. There was really, in the early downs, there's none of it. They play like three guys up there. Jalen Johnson's almost 300-pound in. Greg Gaines is their nose tackle. Benning Potuai, the other big lineman, is 275. Like, they just do it by standing their ground, and then their chaos is in the secondary. So their whole, like, pre- and post-snap, you don't know what you're going to get. Guys flying everywhere. Taylor Rapp's out of center field. And this guy's coming here. And they do it, all of that blur, in their secondary. And it is the beauty of this game, man. It is why we talk about it so much. It's why there's NFL live three times a day, why there's an NFL – because it's just – the beauty of this game is there's not just a pick and roll, right? There's not just small ball. There's not just these – and I know there's great intricacies in both basketball and baseball. There are. But as far as especially college football and the way you can go about building your conviction and your culture, it is so vast. It is so unique. It is so different. And you can find success doing it a number of different ways.
Awesome. Going to be a fun one. Saturday night, Brock will be on the call on ESPN. You can watch the Huskies as they host the Sun Devils. All right, coming up next, if you think Larry Scott's bad at his job, don't worry. He'll tell you why it's not actually his job. Next in Good News, Bad News, I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Brock and Salk. No, you can't talk about it. It's Brock and Salk.
It's a Microsoft thing.
No. We can't. Oh, we can talk about that.
Okay.
I'll tell you about that. That was pretty cool yesterday.
Awesome.
I do want to tell you about that. All right, it's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN. Yeah. Are we still on the air? What's going on?
We should just let
Lydia, are we on the air? Can't you give us a warning?
Can we do a paid? Yeah. Can we do a paid subscription where they listen in during breaks? Give people the paid option. Unbelievable.
What's in the news?
Sorry.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Russell Wilson appeared on the Seahawks injury report yesterday. Guy's got a sore hammy.
I'm actually going to say that's good news. Because we know he's going to play through it. There's no question about that. He's one tough hombre. We'll do all he can to get to 100%. But I'm going to believe that part of the reason that we've not seen him just look to run, at least on Monday night in Chicago, had to do with that hamstring.
Think so?
For him to be on the injury report,
yeah.
Yes.
One of my buddies texted me the other day, said he thought that Russell just looked slower this year. Do you think so?
Well, In that game, yes. I don't think I did in Denver, per se, but I thought in that game there just wasn't like a burst. There was this little like hesitation. So I'm going to believe that. I'm actually going to spin that to good news because he'll be there. He's going to be available. A hamstring is not going to slow him down, and that's maybe the reason he's not been just looking to run and to go.
It's bad news.
Why would you?
Your quarterback is hurt.
He's
going to
play.
Good news?
No, he's going to play.
Bad news.
Bad news.
Good news, bad news, no.
I'd rather have an injured Russell than a healthy Russell. Good news.
Yep.
Stop.
Obviously, I would not, but I'm spinning that because it explains why maybe your buddy.
Thank you for admitting that.
See necessarily.
Thank you for admitting that you're spinning it.
I try.
Larry Scott, whose title is the Pac-12 commissioner, says he is a media executive, not a conference commissioner.
Spin that one, Brock. Great news. All right, so he said this under oath, by the way.
Yes.
That's true.
Truth.
He said this under oath. Larry Scott, the great genius, says he's a media executive, not a conference commissioner, under oath, despite being the commissioner of the Pac-12 conference.
Can you set up the under oath context? Why?
I don't know why he was under oath.
Is he testifying to something?
He must have been. I don't know what he was testifying to, but apparently he was under
oath. I couldn't get past the headline.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't read the article. All you needed was that.
Here's the problem.
In the first sentence.
Here's the problem.
And it's not even a headline. It's his own quote. Okay, this is not a headline. This is his own quote.
In addition to the fact that he's not a media executive, he's a commissioner. If he was a media executive...
Fired.
He's the worst one on the planet.
Should be fired.
His network isn't good, and it doesn't make enough money, and it isn't on at least 25% of the TVs it could be. What are you talking about? That's some sort of defense? This is like self-inflicted wounds. What is wrong with this man? And how has he managed to snow enough of the Pac-12 presidents that they think this guy's doing a good job? They must think he's a commissioner. That must be it. Those guys must think they hired a commissioner, and little do they know, he's actually a media executive.
Bad news. Bad news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Bad news.
Can you imagine just making up your own title?
Sure. What would be yours?
I don't know.
Not a radio host.
Can we start working on what our actual titles would be?
Yes.
I'm not a radio show host.
Actually, you all can text in what Salk's title is, what mine is, what Howdy's is, Lydia's.
But they just have
Kyle.
To be completely untrue.
Sure.
Like, I'm not a media show host. Mm-hmm. I play the guitar in a band. Like, no,
they have to be untrue, but they have to be what you think is true.
Right, what you think your job is, even though it's something else.
Mm.
Right.
I'm not a sidekick on a show. I'm the featured element of a very popular show.
The show. Well, the show.
If you find a very popular show, Howdy, I promise you can be something on it, but it's not this one.
The Mariners beat Houston last night to win the series 10-9. Something, something Crawford boxes.
No news.
The Mariners are going to win 90 games. They're going to win 90 games. They're going to miss out on the playoffs, but they're going to have their best year since 2003. And we're going to look back on this year, and you know what cost the Mariners? They won the season series, as Lydia just said, over the Houston Astros. They're going to win the season series over the A's. They won the season series over the Angels.
Stop.
You know what cost them this year?
Brock, stop.
They went 1-12 versus the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Rockies in interleague play. Against those three teams, they went 1-12 and 0-4 versus the Padres.
Brock.
That is bad news.
No news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Sounders' win streak is over. It was stopped at 9 games. They lost to Philadelphia 1-0.
Yeah, this is bad news, and it's probably on stretch for coming in yesterday. I mean, he came in to promote the whole deal, and then they went out and lost.
He's super cocky guy. What was he?
No, I mean,
he's throwing barbs at Heaps.
Oh,
yeah, he did.
What?
He asked, Jake said that he went to Miami. He's like, oh, how'd that work out for you? I was like, well, I didn't play.
And what did he say about me?
Oh, he said you're boring.
Oh.
Boring. Mike goes, oh, Brock's going to be back tomorrow. And he just goes, boring.
It was a raucous time.
That's true.
Salk should be a CPA. Yeah, hi, I'm Mike. I'm not a radio show host. I'm a CPA, a certified public contrarian.
Nice.
Thanks, 425. Appreciate that.
So again,
I like this guy's phone number.
CPA?
CPEC. I guess
CPC.
Sorry, did I say CPA?
CPC drugs?
This guy's phone number begins and ends with 425. That's a great phone number.
Wow.
I want something like that.
Wow. What was the thing we were debating? Good news, bad news, no news.
Brock's not a show
host. Oh, the Sounders, bad news.
He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Well, which Hall of Fame? He's in the Pacific Northwest
Thank
Football
you.
Hall of Fame. I was there for the induction at the Nile.
Oh,
and they didn't have any hot dogs.
Oh, show.
All right, well.
Good news, bad
Best
news.
Best hot dogs
no
in Seattle,
news.
Man.
On the Nile?
At the Nile?
Golf
oh,
course?
Yeah. The German dog,
Were
man.
You shot 67?
74.
74.
On a par 67.
Don't worry about
no
it.
No one was there with me.
James Paxton wants to return to the Mariners rotation before the season ends.
No news.
That's good news. I'm glad he's over his pneumonia. He had some. Do you know he had pneumonia?
No, I didn't.
Yep. No, he did.
He got sick.
104 temperature.
Okay. Can no I news. Ask a really mean question?
No. Don't ask this. Is this what you called me about last night?
Yes.
Don't ask this question.
Don't ask this
Just
question.
Don't do this.
Don't do it?
No.
No upside?
No.
Now.
Right. Don't ask this question. I'm asking you not to.
Are you going to ask if like another person could have pitched through pneumonia?
No, but it's close. Just don't ask this question.
All right, I won't.
I would like it. You to. I'm going to ask you.
Okay,
not
fine.
To.
I'll trust you on
all right,
that.
Go ahead.
No news.
Just don't ask.
Good news at the Bulldog.
Is that all we got today?
No, okay. It's good news. The Bulldog
yeah,
wants
you
to get another
through
start.
Like half them, and
what do you
like,
mean?
No news.
Well,
not news.
Well, did,
no,
stop putting Mariners things
it.
In there. They're not news. I don't know what to tell you. You put the Mariners here in good news, bad news, no news. The answer is no news.
What? What is going to happen? What kind of fury is going to – the Kraken is going to come out when they are officially
no.
eliminated?
No.
You said not until
calm.
They're officially – bowl
gonna
poop.
Be, I'm going to be
is
totally
not
calm.
True.
Hell hath no fury like a Mike Salk post-Ems.
Oh, my gosh. You've been just sitting on all
no,
of this.
No, I haven't. It's
oh,
just
really?
No news right
oh,
now.
Really?
It's just not news right now. That's
Correct.
All. Not sitting on anything.
Okay, well, when it is news
no,
and they're
no
officially
news.
Eliminated.
It's not, though. It's no news.
What's going to happen?
Nothing. It'll be totally
You're
gonna fine.
You're going to take a week off.
Nah, I'll be fine. Don't even worry about it. All right, you get to a final couple of minutes here to enter the code word down at 710sports.com/win so that you can be entered to win a couple tickets to go see the Seahawks and Cowboys on Sunday for the home opener. If you stick around, though, we're going to give you another opportunity to do that with a new word, a new code word in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll do that in just a couple of minutes, which will give you an even better opportunity to win those tickets. Brock, I should tell you about what I saw yesterday at Microsoft. When do we have time to do that? Maybe at 9:30?
Yeah, let's do that now.
All right, I want to take some calls, and then I'll tell you what I saw at Microsoft, because it was really cool. Just a really special day I got to have yesterday.
So you
really
said people it. Wanted to talk about quarterbacks yesterday?
Kyle, would you say that there were, yes, there were people interested and invested in the whole quarterback thing.
Oh, interesting.
So here's a simple question for all you guys. I tried to come up with my answer, and you can come up with yours. What would you do to fix the Seahawks offense? You get to do one, whatever it is you want to do. It can be a 1 or 2 point plan. That's fine. What would you do to fix the Seahawks offense ahead of Sunday's game against the Cowboys? Brock, wannabe offensive coordinator like Larry Scott, is going to give us his answer. I'll give you mine, even though I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. But we want yours, because I'm sure you've had at least a thing or two to say to your buddies at the bar over the last few days. What would you do to fix the Seahawks offense? 206-421-3776, Brock and Salk.